I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harrison. We co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Got mail.
Birthday card.
Only 2 months late. I'm impressed.
Cash is good. I'm gonna need it when I go to Yosemite.
You're not going.
No, I'm going to Yosemite.
No, you're not.
Look, I know today is the day, but I think...
Oh, really? What day is that, John?
Halloween.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron. Cheers. This week, we're discussing the horror classic, Halloween H2O 20 Years Later. That's the full title, for goodness sake. Starring...
You know, I thought it was underwater.
It's H2O, just add water.
It wasn't until it f***ing opened that I understood what the hell the H2O was about.
Well, this is important. In the 90s, they started coming up with these acronyms for the movies, like starting with T2 for Terminator 2 Judgment Day. And then there was ID4. Do you remember that one? Independence
yeah.
Day. It's on the 4th of July, I guess, is what they were going for there. H2O was the latest in kind of interesting acronyms that they were going for.
So well, a little known fact, before that time period, there was a little thing called chemistry, and H2O stands for water. Little known fact.
That is true. So H2O stars Jamie Lee Curtis reprising her role. We've got Josh Hartnett in his debut performance, future Academy Award winner Michelle Williams. And of course, American treasure LL Cool J.
Good time. He is American. You know what? And this was a bit of a trimmer LL. He got a little puffier later on. I'm sure it's all meat. But he's not working as much as he should be because he is a treasure.
He is on that show, NCIS Los Angeles or whatever.
That sounds stupid. That's not what
shit.
I mean.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, things I approve of. He needs to be doing more things that I approve of.
Clearly. He's got to run it by you. Each week in the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics in the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. Aaron, what are you up to? How's it going?
It's a 3-day weekend. I'm not going to bathe all weekend long. I'm just going to be a greasy monster. And I'm just wearing like leggings and an old t-shirt until I have to go back to school.
You're saying it's just an average day for you. Boom, shots fired.
Better than an average day.
We should say we are covering this movie because we went on literally a few minutes ago on another podcast that graciously had us on, the Review It Yourself podcast with Sean. Thank you very much for having us. But as you know, frequent listeners and watchers of our show realize if we go on one show to talk about a horror movie or a science fiction movie, we're bringing it home. We're bringing it home and we're going to pick that carcass clean. So good times.
With the one exception being Blank Check, when we went on that podcast, we will not be discussing that.
We went on the Film Effect pod with Ed and had a grand old time. But clearly, some would argue Blank Check, not a horror movie. Nor science fiction. So therefore, we're leaving it in our dust. So
I want to bring up some old business.
Yes.
What in the heck is going on with John Carter, the movie, that freaks are literally coming out of the woodwork defending John Carter and claiming the only reason that it was a flopasaurus is because the name. I argue I didn't know who the fuck Jack Reacher was, and everybody's seeing that. So I don't think it's the name that was made it unsuccessful.
Well, this is important. We're starting to institute a new part of our show, ladies and gentlemen. Because each week we always say, hey, send us your questions and comments and we may talk about it on the show. And then we never do. We're thinking that we're going to start bringing it back. So what we'll do is we will talk about comments from our movie reviews from a couple weeks ago.
So there you go. Absolutely.
It's timely. It's topical. So when I asked our friends on social media, what do you think of John Carter? Send us your comments and questions. Sci-Fi Remnant said, I freaking love that movie. And the 12 books are freaking amazing.
I'm sure we always the argument. I'm sure the books are amazing. But this movie sure the f*** is not. Continue.
Horrifying History talks about, it was a great movie. And I think the reason it did poorly in the box office was due to the name. Those who don't read or know about the books wouldn't be drawn in by the name. So you think that's just an excuse?
What about there? Those who can't read?
They can't read or not. If they never learn to read, I don't hold it against them. And they have bigger problems.
I don't know what's happening, but like I said, people are crawling out of the woodwork. I turn on my ticker talker. There's people like, why John Carter is one of the greatest films ever made. I'm like, what the fuck? You're going to make me get on the ticker talker and react to that bullshit.
Matthew Corey succinctly said, I liked it. Boom. Enough said.
Aaron says, seven thumbs down.
Seven thumbs. Like the green aliens. You're giving all the thumbs down. Good times. Sweet Jesus. So what else is with you before we start talking more about our lovely...
Oh, HBO? Yeah. It's. I will tell you, it is super exciting times here at Casa Doherty. I got an estimate to redo my bathroom, which they told me was like $20,000, which seems insane. And I went to community theater, as one does.
What was the play?
Grease. Grease
is the word.
That you heard. It's got groove. It's got me. Yeah, so good that's time. It. And then the temperature is only in the high 80s, so it's practically winter here. But no worries. Don't worry about me getting too cold, because soon it'll be 110 for 6 months. So there you have it.
Give us your 30-second synopsis of Halloween H2O 20 years later.
Let me just say it has nothing to do with water.
That is true.
Put that out there. crazy Jamie Lee Curtis fakes her own death and becomes like an alcoholic headmaster, and she's raising like Dawson's Creek at her prep school. And 20 years later, Michael Myers shows up for, as it turns out, might just be a hug. The end.
Fair enough. Now,
is that succinct enough?
Also very succinct. Now, had you ever seen or heard of this movie prior to this?
I'd heard of it, but apparently I had not seen it. I thought I had, just because, you know, I've seen the name 1,000 times. But clearly, if I thought it was an underwater film, I had not seen it.
Are you drinking your Chardonnay right now as well?
It looks that way. It looks like I'm having a big old cup of scotch. But in reality, I'm having a delicious ginger beer, cock and bowl.
That's a good one.
Just ginger beer. I like good ginger time. Beer. It's expensive habit. I'm a millionaire.
I, going back into the annals of my mind, I believe I saw Halloween H2O in the theater when it came out. I believe. And then had not seen it in the 25 years since, if I'm remembering correctly.
Maybe, and you just erased your memory.
Well, it's, and we have to talk about the bizarro timeline of these movies. But before we do, just understand that there's never like a moment where like the credit, before the credits roll, there's like a warning to the audience. By the way, this movie ignores films 3 through 6. Just heads up. There's never that kind of notation that lets you know. So you're just supposed to figure it out after the fact. Who the hell knows what's happening? Very upset.
All I can tell you is, because I think directly with the tinkering of the timeline of H2O is why we have the Marvel Universe the way we have it. Because they just decide nothing has to make any sense.
It's the multiverse. Boom. It's the multiverse.
Oh yeah, that covers all your bad writing and choices. It's just another part of the multiverse.
It is. Well, the thing about
it's the part where Halloween sucks. Let's go to the universe where it's good.
Right. Well, it's important to know that the timeline, movies 4 through 6 deals with the crazy druids and shit and the cult of Thorn and all that stuff, which was so convoluted and people hated it. So when they finally brought back the series for Halloween H2O, they decided, and I think initially they were like going to try to weave in the Jamie Lloyd stuff, the daughter stuff, into it. But eventually they said, F it. We're just going to pretend like none of that stuff happened. We're just going to ignore it, because otherwise it makes no sense. Because she has a son now. No mention of the daughter. You faked your death, so left your toddler behind. Is that what we're supposed to think from the previous movies?
Because he offered it as a sacrifice to the cult of Thorn.
Clearly. So there, I guess the idea is, and you can still see kind of fragments kind of left behind, because I think we've said this before. It doesn't make any sense for her to go like fake her death and go into hiding if, as far as she knows, Jason was incinerated at the end of part 2.
100%.
But they're like, F it, maybe it's some PTSD thing. Who cares? Yeah. Moving on.
The fact that things don't make sense is not a drawback for these people.
Not a hindrance. Not a hindrance, even a little bit. So, but it kind of spawned all the crazy timeline stuff within this thing. Because after this movie has a direct sequel, which is Resurrection, and then when that movie sucked, they basically were like, screw it, Rob Zombie, you can reboot the whole thing. We can start from scratch. And then people hated those. So then they brought in David Gordon Green and his buddies, and they kind of did a soft reboot where they ignored all the other movies except for the original classic. So neither here nor there. Aaron, let's go to the behind the scenes. Let's go to the highlights. What you got?
Oh, Lord. The highlight is when LL Cool J get
shot. LL Cujo?
Cujo.
Okay.
Get shot at the end. You got the only black person on the whole show. Yep. Get shot about 55 times. And then at the end, saves the day, or so you think. Or he doesn't really save the day. He just stops Lori from stabbing Michael Myers 55 more times. And then off to the side, he's like calling his wife. It is just a graze. Bullshit, it wasn't a graze. It was like 10 body shots.
Yeah, Adam Arkin gunned you down, bro. Come on. Yeah. And by the way, this is a good question, because there's multiple times where you see the silhouette of Michael walking up, and then Jamie Lee turns around and it's Adam Arkin or it's LL Cool J. Regardless of the fact that the silhouette should not match. Especially LL, who's got a shaved head and obviously crazy Michael Myers, got crazy, you know, Halloween mask hair.
Adam Arkin looks like he's about 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Michael Myers, we decided, was 4'11".
He looked small in this movie. It's bizarre.
He was Leprechaun. Let's just say that.
They had Joseph Gordon-Levitt play the character after his death at the beginning of the movie. It was very strange. It was a choice. It was a choice. Who's to say?
It was a wrong choice, I'm to say.
And we have to say, so the opening movie starts off with a nurse's house has been ransacked. And it's revealed that she's the nurse from the very first movie who drives to the insane asylum with Dr. Loomis.
I say the movie starts off good. When you're dealing with the nurse and he's creeping around and then she's over with the neighbor kids. It starts off, I was like, okay. But shortly thereafter, the train flips off the tracks, tumbles down the hill, bursts into flames, and still expels a living Michael Myers.
That's correct. Killer bees are involved.
Killer bees are involved.
Well, yeah.
They impregnate a Michael Myers and still continues.
It happens. Joseph Gordon-Levitt lives next door. He was, at this point, was on Third Rock from the Sun, which is a popular sitcom with John Lithgow and Jane Curtin, et cetera, et cetera. But it's kind of shocking because it was like he was not an above the title actor in this. He's not on the poster. right?
Who are you talking about? The guy who plays Jamie Lee Curtis's son?
No,
with the homemade haircut?
The dude at the beginning of the movie, the hockey player.
I don't know any of these Home Skittles names.
So we're learning. And that's when we first discover Michael has somehow shrunk 6 inches since in the last 20 years. I don't know what the story is.
It's like a Benjamin Button disease, except you just grow short till you're Stuart Little size.
You're Stuart Little or Simon Birch. I've heard it.
But you're Michael Myers, so eventually there'll be a little mouse like Michael Myers running around stabbing you in the toe.
That's correct. And evidently, Michael Myers in this continuity has been like fine since he was blown up at the end of part two, which took place in 1978, I believe, has just been chilling like a villain before finally making his way from Haddonfield, Illinois to where is this place? Smith's Grove, California. I don't remember what the city is supposed to be.
He's filmed in L.A. So he went to L.A., let's just say that.
Went to L.A., was doing his things, taking his sweet-ass time before eventually finding his way.
It follows, where he's just kind of, and as it gets closer to the current timeline, he's like, this. I'm
right.
I'm gonna steal a car.
It's true. Eventually. He takes his time. Well, and there's a bizarro voiceover over the credits, which take place like 20 minutes into the movie, is when the credits finally kicking. It's a cold open with the nurse who has become Dr. Loomis's lover some point during the timeline, and his live-in lover who hangs out at his house long after Dr. Loomis has died. So who knows what's happening?
And I like to think that she's also the nurse from Cuckoo's Nest. Let's throw that in the
Nurse Ratched is what you're saying.
She's Nurse Ratched, and she was the lover of Dr. Loomis. I think that's just understood.
I mean, is there any other explanation why she lives in his house? Is she a squatter? I mean, what's the other explanation?
She either is a lover or it's a relative, and I'm going to say lover.
Lover. I think it's clear it's a lover. I totally don't remember what I was going to say next. But so there's the credits, the roll, and there's a false Dr. Loomis voice, a crazy fake British accent, who's saying like Dr. Loomis's iconic lines over the credits with like a crazy Muzak version of the, famous Halloween theme song. It was like not the same one. It's like, what the hell's happening here?
Yeah.
So very upsetting.
Well, that point when it starts, this is where things start getting a little shaky.
A little dodgy, as they say. Yeah. Jamie Lee is the headmistress / dean of students / teaches English lit. Is that what's happening?
It's all ridiculous.
The only teacher of the school that we're aware of, basically.
It is. She's the headmaster. She's the English teacher. She's the physics teacher. She's the Latin teacher. She's the town drunk. All of the above.
She's Laura Ingalls, is what you're saying. It's a one-room schoolhouse.
It's a little house in the prairie if Laura was hitting the shard hard.
Hitting the shard hard, as has often been said. No question. And we meet that she wakes up screaming every night, having Michael Myers nightmares. And she has a 17-year-old son. No mention of who the father is. Could have been a drifter, a strange truck driver, a longshoreman.
I like to think that it's Michael Myers. In an edited scene that's been sealed in the Library of Congress, you miss in the first Halloween how they had a passionate affair.
They did.
That part of the storyline was removed in editing. But for sure, it's Michael Myers' son. That would explain the bad haircut. Because he was trying to cut it himself.
Yes. He basically hired Katherine Hepburn to cut his bangs, basically, for this one. Poor Katherine Hepburn.
Poor Katherine Hepburn.
If you're listening,
you're
no offense.
Person. You're going to hell with Michael Myers.
I am. but I think she says, like, your dad.
I thought you were going to say Michael J. Fox. So it's probably better you didn't go that way.
That's too soon. Michael J., we're big fans.
I'm sure too soon.
Too soon. But I think, doesn't she say, like, well, your dad was hooked on PCP and that's why he's not around? She said, made some kind of comment like, She's getting like some orange juice out of the fridge in the opening of the movie, going like, yeah. She's like, he says dad would let me go on the camping trip. It's like, yeah, but your dad's a meth addict. No need to say any more.
I say this is a lie that she tells. Oh, your dad was a meth head, because I was really into that in my youth. But just a cover. So he doesn't go look and find that Michael Myers.
That guy could be busy.
And she shut him down, and that's what made him go crazy.
But he was totally sane in spite of his incestuous relationship.
That moment that she broke up with him, that pushed him over the edge.
That was it.
Which is why we have all these movies. Nothing to do with the childhood. He did kill his sister, but
she's
he got
kind of
over
a bitch,
it.
Though. So, I mean, she That's had right. a couple.
That's right. That's it. That's
interesting.
It.
Interesting.
This is how all the serial killers are formed. He really was just a serial killer.
That was it. Boom. So we meet her son. We meet the son's girlfriend, played by Dawson's Creek, Michelle Williams, who exhibits none of the acting ability that would come to define her career. She is kind of a nothing in this movie. Do you disagree?
First of all, I never saw Dawson's Creek, and I didn't even think about her in this movie. But it is possible.
People
want to learn things. They can, because Keanu Reeves is a perfect example of somebody who was a terrible actor for years, but clearly liked by Hollywood, who in time got better. So,
well, look, Dawson's Creek, there are four main characters in Dawson's Creek. I'll wait. You're having some kind of an episode. There you go. Handle your business.
I was trying to mute it so I could cough.
I appreciate
your beer in my
mouth. You're choking on a chicken bone, like The Legacy, or what was happening?
I'm Roger Daltrey.
There are four main characters. You had James Vanderbeek, who was the titular Dawson. You had his tomboy friend slash girlfriend, Joey.
I don't know why titular is so titillating to me. I feel like I need to have a pet named titular. I need to put it on a t-shirt. I don't know.
Titular refers to title. Okay, sweet Lord. You had Joshua Jackson played Pacey, James Vanderbeek's other buddy, and then Michelle Williams played the girl. I don't even remember what her name is, but she's new in town and causes friction between James Vanderbeek and Joey.
Because they were lovers, but now he's interested in women.
Yes. But essentially, they hung around all the time, Dawson and Joey. But now, even though he's clearly 25 in this movie, the new girl moves to town and he's like, whoa, what are these feelings I'm having?
Exactly. It is classic 90210 casting with a bunch of 30-year-olds playing high schoolers.
That's how they do it. So Michelle Williams was the new cute blonde who moved to town. Essentially. But I mean, you can't overstate her going from being the fourth lead on Dawson's Creek to now being like basically, you know, perennial Oscar nominee, essentially.
Married to Heath Ledger.
Yes. Ever so briefly.
Ever so briefly.
But again, this was kind of like just do your Dawson's Creek shit. Is basically what this is. And
that's what they're looking for, young people to draw in the crowds.
Absolutely, because Josh Hartnett, this was his first thing. So, I mean, he was kind of a handsome guy, but he wasn't somebody who was like, oh, I loved his work in Party of Five or something, you know? So
I'm
who's
sure
to
I
say?
I loved his work in Party of Five. Yeah.
No. So they're together. Then there's his horny buddy. This is back on Halloween H2O, by the way. This is on Dawson's Creek. The horny buddy played by the dude from young Robin Williams from Jumanji, who I swear to God, I had never seen him in anything prior. I didn't realize he was still acting after Jumanji. And his girlfriend, who's cute, who looks like she was in other things, but I, for the life of me, I don't remember her popping up in any IMDb searches.
All right.
Such is life. And then Michael arrives and the shit goes down, basically. What else you got? Since I've been talking for the last half hour.
Oh my God. I know, because you're on the f-ing roll. Oh, just the usual bullshit. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is clearly unhinged and has been unhinged for 20 fucking years. She's just day drinking every 5 minutes. Yes. I mean, it's been 20 years and this is, we just meet you now 20 years later. So you're like this all the time and yes. you've raised a child and you have a job of high level importance.
Very important.
Freak. She Except when the real danger, when there's no danger, you're a freak.
She is not shoveling coal.
She's Sarah Connor if Sarah Connor was a freak for 90% of the time.
She suffers from post-traumatic stress and drinks heavily, like wildly, throughout the entire movie. And like I said, she's not a drifter moving from town to town because she can't hold a job. She is the GD headmistress.
Yeah.
Of an exclusive, some might say fortress-like private school where the students are not allowed to come. I know you're 17. You may not leave the grounds of our, I don't give it. There's no classes. Sorry. The gate is locked to you. Like it's an insane asylum or a penitentiary for the criminally insane. Either way, it's some kind of insane thing going on.
Maybe it's Dr. X's school. How about that? But then they just hover out.
Okay. Who the hell's Dr. X? Again?
Professor X.
Professor X is not a MD. Okay? He does not perform unnecessary surgeries. He educates America's mutant youth. God damn it. Also a headmaster. Someone
also a headmaster. Good. He should have some PTSD.
He should. Absolutely.
I just thought it was ridiculous that she's barely a functioning adult.
Yes.
Except when there's real shit. Then she's Sarah Connor.
She gets it together. She gets it together quick.
Snap. I'm ready to go.
It's not Michael Myers is peeking in her window and she's like, damn, where's my bottle of scotch?
No. It's on. Everybody out. It's me and Michael.
She goes cold turkey. She puts down the meth and she's on it.
Dude, so what the reality is, when she's not currently fighting Michael Myers, we need to drop her over like in Ukraine to handle some business. Because clearly she needs that kind of mano a mano, kicking ass and taking name. She's a soldier of fortune.
She's a soldier, a mercenary.
She's That's a right. mercenary. She needs to get through it.
She's in the A-team, is what she should be, basically. Oh where she travels from town to town with Face and Murdoch and Mr. T and solve crimes.
It should only be her and Mr. T in one of those glamping vans traveling through troubled countries.
Why not?
Here it is, Hollywood.
And I said solving crimes. They don't solve crimes.
Crimes against humanity.
They basically go on, every episode of the A-team ends in a full countywide shootout where it's like, it's some local toughs. There's a guy hustling, you know, the local farmer or the young reporter or whatever it is. We got to handle it. Hand me my AK-47. We're going to handle this the way we did in NAMM.
We're busting unions. Let's go.
There's a union. That's exactly what it is. The corrupt politicians are messing with a local school teacher. Hand me my AK. We're going to blow up some stuff. I'm going to smash through the front door in my Chevy van and just handle this. This is the way we did in Saigon.
That's why I always thought it was so funny in like the Batman movies, because they're always trying to arrest Batman because of all the chaos. And they're like, okay, well, we have the criminals, but they only do this much damage. When Batman goes to shut them down, half the city's destroyed and half the population is orphaned.
That is correct. That is correct. Absolutely.
Half a Nazi.
One thing that I noticed, tell me if you noticed this. There were constant scenes of the exterior of the school and there were just leaves and shit everywhere. Like it's not a well-maintained facility? Or what are we supposed to take from that?
I noticed that too. They're walking up and there's just piles of debris everywhere. Why are these kids going off to Yosemite? They should be getting a broom. Here's your Yosemite right here.
Absolutely. Like,
and almost the whole thing is filmed on this one. It's like this mansion in the middle of Los Angeles, like 5 acres. Everything is like filmed there.
With Dr. X upstairs in his wheelchair doing his thing. Doctor, why not? All the doctors are involved.
Sweet Doctor Jesus. Who?
Doctor Who? Doctor Teeth? They're all doing the thing.
It's all there.
He is. There's a big kerfuffle because all the kids are going on the camping trip, but Jamie Lee won't sign the permission. She won't sign the permission slip. You're the dean. You don't have to. Who are you signing the permission slip for? For yourself? Right? If you just wave your wand, he can go or he can't go regardless, right? So the big thing is he can't go. And then it's like, who else? Like the other people are kind of aren't allowed to go.
They Michelle made Williams. It so they couldn't go. Like they didn't turn in papers. They got on the naughty list. So while everyone else is gone, they're unsupervised at the mansion.
Well, it's also Michelle Williams, like her financial aid didn't come through. Like they made a point to say
one person didn't turn in their term paper.
Granted, this is a highly exclusive, though shabbily maintained prep school. She is not, because she's actually a scholarship student, evidently, she's not allowed to go on these little outings. She has to stay home and not be supervised by anybody.
And clearly. First of all, there's no financial aid. At least not the kind you get in colleges. What financial aid are you applying for to go to a high school?
They do. Look, the
high school. I mean, the high school, I guess, might have a scholarship.
They
but
have
not
something.
Financial aid.
Didn't you see School Ties? Brendan Fraser, he's Jewish football player. He gets a scholarship to go to the ultra exclusive New England prep school that is peopled with casual Nazis. So it's an issue. It happens. It happens from time to time.
I thought that was the one with Jacqueline Bisset where she's sleeping with her son's roommate.
That's Class with Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy. Am I remembering this correctly?
I always hated Andrew McCarthy. He looked like such a pussy. Like you just give him the side eye and he'd just like weep. I was like, get the f*** away from me with your emotions.
I'm not going to lie to you. People liked Andrew McCarthy. I kind of shared your view of him as well. It was like he had a bit of a speech impediment, a little bit of a slur or something. Which is fine. You're allowed to have a speech impediment, ladies and gentlemen. But
he had
he
got the crazy look at his eye. You
crazy
know what
look,
I'm saying.
You know what we're saying. Moving on. I don't know what we were saying, frankly.
Now we drifted off to just schools about high school kids.
That's
movies
correct.
About high school kids.
That's correct. So Josh Hartnett, Michelle Williams, and their buddies are conspiring to have some kind of a Plato's retreat, some kind of a weird sex farm that is going on downstairs. And they go, at one point, they're like, we need food for our love shack. And they bring down literally 5 trays of food for the 4 of them for the evening. They're like, here's Wednesday's meal, here's Thursday's, here's Friday. It's like, so what happens? You eat this, and then when the kids arrive on Monday for their food, they don't get anything? We're all starving now?
Again, they're high school kids.
Yes.
So they're up busting out. First of all, boarding schools don't have gourmet treats. So
no gourmet.
First thing you're going to do in high school is you want to jump the wall. Because it is not a fucking Azkaban prison. And you would have loaded double down on Doritos and Oreos with your liquor. You weren't worried about the 4 food groups and baking trays. You were about getting drunk, eating some trash, and trying to have sex.
Well, they do, in a way, kind of cajole poor LL Cool J, who's the lone security guard whose only job is to man the gate, basically. They get him to let them escape and run into town to shoplift some booze for their escapades. So there's something going on there. Right before they're met by a drunken Jamie Lee Curtis who's been day drinking and harassing the local wait staff.
Well, first of all, except for the gate, the wall is about 5 feet tall.
You're saying you wouldn't have to scale it, is what you're saying.
You wouldn't have to have, like, grappling hooks. You wouldn't have to be a Spider-Man. It's called you hop over the wall and go to town.
Well, speaking of Spider-Man, we do have to talk about how multiple times in this movie, Michael Myers seemingly descends himself from the roof with... Jamie Lee or somebody's
are
running
you
down
only
the hall.
Listening. You're and, missing video magic. Please find us on YouTube.
He could have been holding on to the pipes with both. Put the blade in his belt, and he's kind of hanging on there. No. I get any one hand free for that steak knife, and then lower myself down with one muscled bicep, all 5 foot four of
maybe
me.
His other arm is like a chicken wing, so it only one is all muscly.
It's entirely possible. Oh, sweet Jesus. What else you got?
I got nothing. How come in all these movies there's a man telling a woman to calm down? I'm starting to see a trend here.
Because you calm are hysterical. Down, calm down.
How about Adam Arkin? And there's a lot of terminology in school that yes. doesn't really relate to other worlds. So he's a school counselor.
That's correct.
So a school counselor is someone who reviews your transcripts and helps you get into college.
That's a guidance counselor. I think there's different
we
types
don't
of counselors.
Call them guidance counselor where I am.
We they're don't really just, call them that
that's
anyway.
That's your yeah. counselor versus they counsel you on your grades.
Yeah.
No, just like
true.
The school psychologist is not a psychologist. They just do the psychological testing.
But they have like a degree in psychology or something, don't they?
I don't know what the hell they have, but they're not psychologists.
Well,
but, so we don't know what he is. Is he a counselor? Because his behavior is
bizarre. He says counselor.
He and, says he, counselor, but is it academics or is it for their troubled, my mommy and daddy don't love me because they're too rich?
Well, she looks to him after she's down a couple glasses of Chardonnay looking for kind of therapy and like at the diner. And he's kind of like, time out, honey. I lost my license in the last state for mixing business and pleasure, if you know what I'm saying. So
yikes. I will just tell you his whole thing is troubling. He's yes. troubling. His acting is troubling. The casting of him in this is troubling. Yes. He's trying to get busy and she's telling him like my whole family's dead and he's like making a joke out of it.
He's like, get out of your clothes. She's like, I have to tell you.
Get your hole and get out of your clothes. Stop
she was talking. Like, I've faked my death and I've been living under an assumed name for 20 years. He's like,
he
you
said,
know
let
what?
Me see your boob.
He said, yada, 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 get your pants off.
He's honking her tits while she's trying to say that everyone she loves is dead. And he's like, let's get, and then, yeah. when she's like, no, really, he's annoyed and sits up straight like.
So now I have to deal with this. You couldn't
now
imagine this after sex.
And I'm not, it doesn't look like I'm going to be getting sex from Jamie Lee.
So I'm out.
And what do you want me to do about
just
this?
Calm down, Jamie Lee.
Calm down. I told you to take your clothes off. Calm
you're hysterical.
you're hysterical. I'm going to slap you.
That's sometimes Sean Connery says that's what you have to do sometimes.
It's a very special Sean Connery episode of Dawson's Creek.
You better believe it. There's a scene where a guy, these guys in the kitchen, it's little, what's his name from Jumanji. He accidentally drops the wine bottle opener into the garbage disposal. And he's very reticent, like, oh, damn. Now, keep in mind, he doesn't know anything about any murders. Okay? I drop things in my garbage disposal all the time. And it's not some dramatic, like, looking at the switch on the wall. What do I do? I'm not sure. I guess I should just leave the wine opener in there, but I kind of want to drink. You would just reach in and grab the wine bottle opener.
No one thinks about it. Well, I do always think. I've seen enough horror movies that I think about it, but I'm not like, where's the switch? Where is it? And this is the deepest garbage disposal yes. I've ever had.
He's elbow deep.
I mean, you're elbow deep. And I don't know if it has like a suction to draw you in next, but I'm f***ing fishing shit out of the garbage disposal
the
every day. Every time I turn on the garbage disposal, I hear that,
right.
which means my son has thrown 3 spoons down the disposal just for fun.
Absolutely.
Just to f*** with me to see if I'm going to lose an arm this time.
I mean, it's not like a garbage disposal sneaks up on you. You know what I'm saying? You can hear it. You can hear
it. You can hear it. And the grinder is at the bottom.
Yes.
It's all, it's not like knives come out from all sides and then starts drawing you down.
That's correct. If you put your hand in there, it's not like it's filled with razor blades. Okay. It's yes. If you turn it on and kind of shove it your hand in there with all your strength,
you just really apply pressure. That's gonna hurt like fuck. You're probably gonna be good for you.
Yeah, it's not gonna be good for you if you jam your hand into the
on purpose.
On purpose. That's not gonna be helpful to you. Truly.
I hope this PSA tells you how a garbage disposal works.
It's important.
I mean, I guess you could shut the power off to the house while
you
were...
did. which Mike? Okay, we need to talk about this. In the first movie, they establish Michael Myers shouldn't be able to drive a car. He's been in an institution for 25 years. It's like he was doing a pretty good job of it last time I saw him. It's the same thing with electricity, right? Evidently, there was a correspondence course in how to be an electrician while he's in the insane asylum for the last 20 years. Also learned how to, I cut this wire, I pull out this fuse, got it. But only to keep the garbage disposal working, though. You flip the switch, light switch is off, garbage disposal working, full power. Interesting.
Dude, we needed to discover the origin of Michael Myers. What makes him evil? What makes him what he is? I think, again, maybe we can lead this into the Evil Dead, where this is clearly an ancient Sumerian. Someone read the book, and he got raped by a twig, and now he's Michael Myers.
Well, here's the thing. This is why there's a bone.
Don't
condition.
Give me this Druids and Thorn shit, because that's
telling you. In the first movie, John Carpenter said specifically, I don't want there to be a reason. It's scarier if he's just born bad. No trauma in his life, no demonic possession. He's just a bad seed.
And I agree, and which is why I lose interest once these characters become immortal.
Well, and that's the thing. So by the fourth movie, they started to come up with the druids and all that shit, which people hated.
See, I always think when you have this evil presence, there's a balance. You know, it's the yin and the yang. So what's the other also immortal light presence? Is the dark and the light? It's not Jamie Lee Curtis.
Unbreakable or something, right? Well, you got to have the good and the bad, right?
You have to have the good and the bad.
There's good and bad.
Please do not have M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, I don't know if he can do any worse. Maybe only M. Night needs to take over the franchise.
Except there's a twist. It's not Michael Myers at all.
It's not M. Night Shyamalan after all. It's somebody else directed this. There's the controversial ending of this movie. Where, you know, Jamie Lee thinks she stabbed him and he's fallen from a high wall and all this stuff. So the ambulance, they shove his body in the back. She steals the ambulance and is driving down a country road. And of course, the body bag in the back starts moving and flopping around.
Let me stop you for a second, because where was she going?
These are good questions. There's no explanation where she was going. I think she wanted to fully desecrate the corpse was her goal at some point. Drive somewhere.
Does she want another child? She's going to molest the corpse. Forth more evil onto the world.
That's what she was doing. The bad seed.
The son she has is not listening, so she's going to need another one.
She's going to need another one. Absolutely. So there's crashes. You know, Michael Myers is shot through the through the windshield.
Which he did on purpose.
Yeah, clearly. Gets pinned by a log and the ambulance squishes him, but he's still fine, evidently. Jamie Lee chops his head off. Problem solved, or so we think.
Okay. Pump the brake. The brake.
Yes.
Because you missed the most ridiculous part of the whole thing. And she then hikes down looking like me after that Cruel World Festival. I was like, broken bones.
Same thing.
It's like I've been in war with a hand-to-hand combat.
What do you
Gets
do?
Down there, and she's calling him, Michael, and he looks up at her, and then she puts her hand out. He puts his hands out. They briefly touch fingers, and then she chops his head off.
She chops it. Now, people are like, I remember being in the theater where she chops the head off and the audience cheered. People are like, woohoo, good job, Jamie. Now, in the immediate sequel, Halloween Resurrection, it is revealed that at some point, Michael Myers, a paramedic was coming in to get his body. He wakes up, does a karate, like a Roger Moore karate chop to the guy's throat. So the guy's like, now I can't speak.
Wait, and I guess, didn't we see this movie?
It's possible, but I haven't seen it in at least 20 years. So unlikely. Yeah. He knocks the dude out, gets naked, puts the clothes on the paramedic's body. Then somebody else, and then, I don't know, does he take the body and throw it in the back of the ambulance, or does somebody else do it? Who knows? And so everything that happens from the moment that body is on the ambulance is a hapless paramedic, basically.
F***ing ridiculous. F***ing ridiculous.
So there it is. Now, the reason this happened, this is kind of behind the scenes, is that Jamie Lee basically signed up to do this movie to kind of deal with, you know, I want my character to deal with trauma, which they also kind of deal with in the new movies. Like, that's why she's like a weird survivalist or whatever.
All right.
And to kill
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor. And to kill Mike Myers. I keep calling him Mike Myers, star of The Love Guru. kill him once and for all. But there was something in the contract. The producer, Mustafa Akkad, who owned the right to Michael Myers, there was a rule that said Michael Myers could never die in any of these movies, which Jamie Lee didn't know about when she signed on.
He dies in every movie. He dies in every movie.
Evidently, he's got to be like a hand twitch or something to let you know, oh, he's still with us. So she was about to storm off the set. Kevin Williamson, who was brought on to kind of punch up the script, the guy who wrote Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and Dawson's Creek, he kind of negotiated something. He's like, look, we're going to have this, but we know all along it's the paramedic. So that then Jamie Lee will come back and it's revealed, oh, Michael was alive the whole time. And then she'll be killed. And then that will be it for her storyline altogether. So that's what they came up with. This was the compromise. So, good times.
No es bueno.
Que lastima. So there you have it. Any other thoughts and feelings before we move on with our lives?
It was all right. LL Cool J, as usual, is a standout.
Yep.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is a standout. You didn't talk about her crazy ancient mother showing up in a cameo.
Janet Leigh has a cameo in this. No Tony Curtis, though. They couldn't throw him a bone. He's available. Oh,
that would have been even better. You could have been answering the phone. Hey.
Why not? Okay, let's go behind the scenes, shall we?
All right.
During the scene where Norma is leaving, that's Janet Leigh, she stands in front of the car from Psycho, from the original movie. The music playing in the background at this part is also from Psycho. Janet Leigh, who plays Norma, played Marion in Psycho. The license plate car is also the same as the second car Marion buys in Psycho, NFB418, which are Norman Bates' initials. And lastly, Norma is the name of Norman Bates' mother from Psycho.
First of all, instead of putting all that time and effort into all this little bullshit, which is interesting, would be more interesting if it was a good film.
Yeah, so would have been.
All that sweat, all that time could have been used to punch up the script.
Yes, that is correct. This sounds like bullshit. This sounds like what she said when this movie first came out, which we all know to be a lie. She's Jamie Lee Curtis considers this film a thank you note to her fans. Without that early career, I truly do not think I would have been an actor.
Mm-hmm. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
We all know that she also then later came out and said she just did it for the paycheck.
Right. Well, it's like we said before. When it's a hit, yes, it's a labor of love. I would have done it for free. Mm-hmm. When it sucks, then it's like, yeah, I had to pay. I had some bills to pay. Very sad. Yeah.
When you're promoting it, it's a labor of love.
That's
once it's officially crashed and no one at the Blockbuster is going to rent it, then it's like, I didn't try.
It's true. It's true. Even after 20 years, Jamie Lee Curtis said that seeing Michael Myers on set still scared her.
That's like a lie.
Well, Jay had always been a fan of the Halloween movies. His mother took him to see the original when he was just 9 years old.
So bad mother.
Bad mother. During one of the scenes at school, Charlie tells John, 20 years from now, you're still going to be living with her. probably running some weird motel out in the middle of nowhere. For some reason, they felt the need to pound bizarro psycho references nonstop in this movie.
Didn't help. Sorry, kids. Didn't help.
Very upsetting. Very upsetting. When Jamie Lee Curtis's character says, go down the street to the Beckers, this is supposed to be a line from Halloween. Go down the street to the McKenzie's house. The name was changed to Becker because that was the name of Drew Barrymore's character in Scream. Boom.
That's stupid.
Bizarro.
Again, all this time and energy.
Yes. Let's see. This is Janet Leigh's first role in a feature film for 18 years. Her previous theatrical film was The Fog, which also starred her daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis. So there you go. I think there's anything else. Oh, yeah. Before Jamie Lee Curtis was involved, Josh Hartnett wasn't sure he wanted to audition. Halloween 7, is that going straight to video or is it going straight to hell? Good time. Shall we
straight
talk
to hell, as it turns out.
Just the audience went to hell. Should we talk about the cast and crew?
Let's.
This movie was directed by Steve Miner. He directed such things as House, Warlock, Halloween, H2O, 20 Years Later, and Friday the 13th Part 2, and Part 3 for that matter.
He's got some real stuff in there.
Got some real stuff. Let's talk about the cast. We got Jamie Lee. We know Jamie Lee from all sorts of things. Jamie Lee Curtis, you know
Trading
her.
Places.
Halloween.
She's called Wanda.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. True Lies.
She was amazing in Everything Everywhere All at Once. I love that movie. I hear you hated it.
I did not hate it, but I was kind of not sure how I felt about it because it was kind of all over the place in my mind.
Well, it was Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think, was the issue.
That's true. Josh Hartnett played her crazy son, John, with a weird haircut.
Yeah, what, you what know was that? Is that a choice? He cut his own hair for that?
It was a thing. He was in Lucky Number 11. He was in 30 Days of Night. He was in The Faculty. He was in Black Hawk Down and all sorts of other things, evidently.
Okay. I didn't see any of that.
Very upsetting. Adam Arkin played the strange counselor with an inappropriate relationship.
Still attractive.
You know him from, he directed episodes of the Get Shorty TV series.
I didn't know there was a Get Shorty TV series. I never even saw Get Shorty.
He was in 11 episodes of Sons of Anarchy, 3 episodes.
Oh, yes,
of
he
Just
was.
Five.
I forgot about that. He was good, too.
He was in something called A Serious Man.
Okay.
And we talked about he was on Chicago Hope and Northern Exposure.
He played Adam.
Michelle Williams played Molly, the girlfriend. You know her from My Week with Marilyn, Blue Valentine, Manchester by the Sea, Take This Waltz. She was in all the Fablemans, for goodness sake.
I didn't see that. I thought she was dead.
No, Heath Ledger's dead.
I know Heath Ledger's dead.
What the hell are you talking about? LL Cool J played Ronnie, the friendly security guard.
We love LL.
He played Preacher in Deep Blue Sea. He was in Deliver Us from
Kevin.
Eva.
Yep. Kevin,
yes.
When you went to the movies with LL Cool J, how did he introduce themselves? James?
Okay, this is an important question. My buddy Sean, his wife worked for CBS. And for Sean's birthday, we all went and saw a movie. Katie, his wife, invited a bunch of like her work friends, and one of her work friends was LL Cool J, and he introduced himself. I shook his hand. He said, "Hi, I'm Todd."
Todd, interesting. Okay,
Todd. So that's what he goes by. So there you go. And I said, "Nice to meet you, Todd. What do you do?"
Shut your mouth.
No, I did not say that. I just said, "Hi."
You should have said, and do you work with Sean?
Exactly. Janet Leigh played Norma. You know her from Psycho, The Manchurian Candidate, Touch of Evil, The Fog. She did all sorts of stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
Good times. Shall we talk about the rating?
Oh, lay it on me, brother. Lay it on me.
Halloween H2O 20 years later currently has a tomato rating of 54% rotten. Do you know what the audience gave it?
61%.
49%.
Ooh, it went down. Ooh.
Very upsetting. Let's see if there are any critics here that want to talk about this movie. Roger Ebert saw it. Who knows how he felt about it, because Rotten Tomatoes has gone up in smoke.
So and Roger Ebert's dead. So he took his review to the grave.
He took it to the grave. So Aaron, what is your rating for Halloween H2O 20 years later?
I'm giving it the worst insult of all. I'm totally ambivalent. It's going to get a 2 out of, I don't know. It's going to get a 2 out of 5 because it's not interesting enough to hate. It's not good enough to like. It is simply meh. I'm going to give it the 2, meh. It doesn't inspire enough outrage to even say anything is in anyone's ass.
I'm going to also give it 2.5 out of 5. Crazy coming down, hanging down from the roof with one arm for no reason by Michael Myers. It was such a bizarre scene. If they could just show that over and over again, it would be lovely. It's kind of like what you said. It's not horrendous. If you watched it on TV, you'd probably be like, okay. If you spent, $100 to go see it in the theater, you might be a little irritated by it.
Don't buy it on Prime for $14. You'll regret 14 of those dollars.
It's a pretty typical late 90s slasher. It's your urban legend. It's I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's pretty standard.
I mean, it's not even following like the good tropes,
Right.
If you're not a virgin, you die, because it's just inconsistent, and it's not, you don't even really know what's happening. He bypasses all these people, but doesn't seem to be really that focused on getting to her.
Right.
He's just meandering.
Some people are left to go free. Other people are killed for no reason. There's no rhyme or reason.
I think like 2 people die or something. It was so boring.
7
like an hour in. I mean, someone dies at the very beginning, but you don't see it. And then it's like hours passed. And it's just like, what is something going to happen here, son? It's all teenage angsty stuff.
Yeah. 7 people die. Multiple people are killed off camera of that 7. So there you go. Good times had by all.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. Go to our page on Twitter. We have a page on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We are on TikTok. All sorts of good stuff. You can also email us at the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finest podcasts are available. We are also on YouTube. For goodness sake, so you may be watching us. So don't forget to
you should be watching us.
So don't,
you can see Kevin checking his phone.
Multiple times. So don't forget to like, share, rate, review. Let the world know, for goodness sake. Aaron, what's your social media like these days?
Much media. I'm on the Insta. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am also Don't Feed the Pigeon. You can buy my photographic art on Artsy and First Dibs, Aaron Doherty. I also would like to once again state that Kevin is not my husband. We are not Targaryens. He is, in fact, my brother. He's my non-sexual brother. Well, at least as far as we're concerned. You'll have to ask his wife about the rest of that.
Next week, we're going to be discussing the horror classic-ish 13 Ghosts from 2001, starring Matthew Lillard, F. Murray Abraham. The list goes. It's an all-star cast.
Sneak preview. Piece of crap.
You can watch it nowhere for free. So that's your penance.
You sons of bitches. Jeff Bezos, you can suck.
You can watch it on Amazon Prime if you're so inclined. So good times had by all. Send us any favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may talk about it on the show. More likely now than previously. It's a good time. Thank you very much, and be well.
Goodbye.